Welcome to the Boys from Oklahoma Red Dirt Podcast, hosted by Jason Barler and JJ Vance. Welcome to the Boys from Oklahoma Red Dirt Podcast. This is Jason Barler.
I'm JJ Vance.
This week on our pod, you're going to hear our Spotlight Artist of the Week, $1.98. We sat down with these guys. They played some songs for us, so we're going to play those throughout the show.
For the show today, I brought in one of my buddies, Kyle Perry. He used to have a little Red Dirt Hour on our local radio station, and I actually call him Fuzzy as a nickname because he's got a big beard and always had a beard as long as I can remember. But anyways, I asked him to come in, and he's going to start doing a little segment with us. They're talking about artists. He knows a lot of these guys. He knows their promoters, their managers, knows some of their wives, girlfriends. Maybe a little too personal. But Kyle, go ahead. What you got? Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us what you're about.
Thanks for having me, Jay. I am Kyle Perry. I used to host Red Dirt Radio. But I'm happy to be here with you. I am friends with a lot of these artists. I got to know their radio promoters and band members and all the ins and outs. I got to do a little shoulder rubbing and elbow rubbing and other rubbing, if you know how it goes. But if you ever been to some of their shows, you probably saw me around there. He's talking about the bearded guy. I was probably the bearded guy.
Yeah, at least in Oklahoma, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I got you. And you said you're in school right now. You're actually in productions and school radio producing?
Yeah, I'm doing digital media. Oh, so it's more, it's more, you know, a little bit of everything, really. It's kind of interesting. It's fun for me to do. I can actually connect with everybody. And since, you know, the way things are going these days, almost everybody has to have some kind of digital connection to get to the outside world. I figured that was the best way to do this.
Where are you attending school at?
Actually, I'm going to the VOTEC in Chickasha, the Canadian Valley Technology Center, and I just started a few weeks ago, so I'm still green, but man, I'm enjoying it.
How long is the program?
It's self-paced, but it takes about 2 years.
Okay, so awesome.
Hopefully, I can get done a little sooner than that.
To start the show off, I'm going to go over the top 10 list real quick. At number one this week, we got Whisper My Name, which is up from number two last week by Aaron Watson. Number two, up from number three, is Hey Cowgirl from Randall King. Number three, up from number six, is Cowboys Cowgirl by Chad Cook Band. Number four, staying at number four from last week, Like a Cowboy by Parker McCollum. We talked a little bit about Parker last week, too, and about how you mentioned about how he's rising. You see him more on popular radio and stuff. And I know we were kind of hard on Nashville last week, but I do want to mention a lot of these artists are trying to get to Nashville. They're trying to get a record deal in Nashville. Congratulations to Parker. He just recently signed, I think, it might have been about 6 months ago or so, but he signed with Atlantic, and I think Cole Wetzel did too, so congrats to him. That's why you'll see him more on popular radio. Number five, up from number seven last week, is Project by Mark Powell. Number six, down from number five, is I'd Look Good on You by Jesse Robb Jr. Number seven, down from number one, is Poor by William Clark Green. Number eight, staying at number eight, Lonesome Henry and Mean by Jody Booth and Tracy Byrd. Breaking the top 10 at number nine, up from number 14, When She's Drinking by George Navarro.
Kyle? I don't know. He's kind of new to the scene, which it's nice to see him breaking into the top 10.
Early, because I've never even heard this song. I'm going to have to go listen to it. And then also breaking into the top 10 at number 10 from 13 is Here I Go Again by Clay Hollis. And that's your top 10 for this week. Jason, anything to add to that?
I was talking to you guys before the show about the whole Alexa thing, and we kind of had a laugh about it because we asked Google to play it, and Google wouldn't play it because I didn't word it correctly. Alexa, I'm reading reviews that if you ask Alexa to play Red Dirt music, it'll list a whole amount of Red Dirt artists, but obviously Google hasn't caught up to that yet, and we got into that how you told me you had to specifically say it a certain way for...
Yeah, you have to say Texas Red Dirt, which is a fucking lie, because Texas... No offense to any Texas artists, but Red Dirt came from Oklahoma. It came from Red Dirt Rangers. That came from their name, kind of the whole genre. And it's basically a mix of all sorts of music, everything from rock to jazz to country to swing country. Texas is more swing country. I mean, Jason Bolin, which is from Oklahoma, is more swing country, which is more Texas. So what you say to Google is you say Texas red dirt, which is kind of crazy because Texas stole the red dirt genre from Oklahoma.
I will add that the top 10 chart you're reading from is the Texas regional.
It is.
So that's what you get. That's why they add the Texas to it, because the charts are coming from
and,
Texas.
And really in music, you don't really see a border. I mean, the border's not there. Oklahoma, Texas is almost like one thing when it comes to music. It's basically just like sisters. It's like
you call it that, and then you have artists like American Aquarium,
which is North Carolina, yes.
Ray Bagwell's from New Mexico,
yes.
You have these artists that Kansas, come from everywhere.
Who is from Kansas?
And boil into
yes, there's scene. Arkansas. There's some from Arkansas.
Everywhere.
Yes.
I had artists come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Illinois, from everywhere because
yeah, you used they were to do drawn a to lot this of sound, interviews, so
drawn to this sound.
So what we learn is Alexa good, Google bad when it comes to wanting to play Red Dirt music. But getting way off track here, I want to tell a funny story. So South Park put out this episode about a year ago where they were just pushing Alexa. So what they did is they – Cartman on the show, he bought a bunch of Alexa devices and was having them say certain things. Like he would say, Alexa, say suck my balls. Well, what they were getting at is people have Alexas in their living room. Mm-hmm. So people's Alexas were picking up what South Park was saying. So Alexa was all over the world saying, suck my balls. So it was just off point, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, them
so.
Guys, they're trying them. They're funny anyway. So.
That tells you how smart they are, too, because they knew exactly
what would happen. Doing. Yeah,
yeah. They got complaints all over the place because their kids were in the living room, you know, wholesome families, and their Alexa said, suck my balls. So it was.
But again, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
No.
So everybody's complaining about the South Park show that was just on. Everybody's complaining about South Park. Right. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
So again, they're pretty smart. Right. They kind of know what they're doing.
I want to mention us right there. If you have anything that you want to give to us, say to us about us, please give us a review on all your everywhere where you download this podcast, you can give a review or so many stars. Please do that. Tell us if we suck. Tell us if we're okay. Whatever.
And I wanted a tagline on the back of that because if you're listening, we're seeing, you know, we're getting 40 to 50 downloads a week at this point, you know, per episode. We're seeing from Russia, from France, all over Texas, all over Oklahoma. Send us an email. Tell us where who you are, what you think about our podcast. It's obviously still being downloaded, so we must be liked by somebody.
And that is at bfopodcast@outlook.com.
Yes, just send us an email. Let us know about yourselves. Tell us what you think about the show.
Yes, please do. And I wanted to – this is a good – we can go right into our contest, our artwork contest that we got coming up. We need our listeners to send us some artwork, and what we're looking for is like artwork to put on – like our logo to put on like on the icon when you click on it, because the one we got now is kind of generic. We just pulled real quick. We want something a little more in tune to Red Dirt. If you got kids that want to join, we're going to give away, which is sponsored by my company, which is Ridge Runner Roofing. It's Oklahoma's metal roofing specialist. We go all over Oklahoma. We go to North Texas, West Texas, West Arkansas, and South Kansas. We will go all over to do especially metal roofs. But anyways, we're going to give away a $50 iTunes card to the winner of this, and we will also be using this as our logo. We'll do t-shirts, hats, we'll do all sorts of things. It'll be our icon as far as that goes. So if you're listening, send us artwork. You can even send it to our Facebook page, take a picture of it, send it to us, send it to our email. You can get a hold of us, or you can just IM us, or instant message us on Facebook.
Yeah, and we'll run the contest for a few weeks just to get the word out.
Yeah,
it's simple. It doesn't cost you anything except some time to design a logo.
Well, so I think we'll announce the winner at one. Let's just do it at 1 month. 1 month from today.
That'll
give people plenty of time. We'll just keep announcing it at every podcast up until then.
So let's do November 15th.
That'll work.
Because around this time this podcast releases, it'll be about the 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
So pretty easy. All right. Also, I wanted to go over and introduce a brand new segment to our podcast. If you've been on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you might have seen this older guy named Rodney Norman. He's quite a character. I contacted him directly, and he responded, and he's given us permission to air these audio clips. This is our newest segment, Advice from Rodney.
Hello, and welcome to today. I take this opportunity to say that if you see in this video, it means that you're still alive, and so you can still do stuff. So you should just take a minute and go, okay. There's a lot of craziness going on in my life, but I can deal with it. Cause I'm still here. I got nothing else to do except deal with stuff, so I'm just gonna deal with it. Okay, so have a super awesome day. Bye.
Okay, Jay, so you have some upcoming tour dates.
Yeah, I got some shows. I mean, Friday the 16th up north in Tulsa at Kane's is John Wolfe. John Wolfe's awesome. I've seen him in concert. Great show. Definitely that Texas, what I was talking about earlier, is definitely that Texas country, more swing type country. Criterion in Oklahoma City's got Randy Rogers playing on the 16th. Giovanni and the Hired Guns. Giovanni, I may be coming your way on Friday. I don't know. It's at the Diamond Ballroom. I'd love to get an interview with Giovanni. Josh Ward is playing at the North Texas State Fair. And then down in Ardmore, they have a Canna Cause going on, which is basically, it's raising awareness about cannabis, medical cannabis. It's called Canna Cause. And Jason Eadie's playing. There's a bunch. There's like 10, 20 bands playing there, but I just pulled some that I looked at and I was like, hey, I'd like to see them. Jason Eadie will be there. Dirty River Boys is playing there. The Damn Quails. And then up north, also on Friday, Red Dirt Rangers are doing a live stream from the Mercury. Also down at in Durant at Bubba Palooza, which is, I think Bubba's is like a bar down there, but they have a thing called Bubba Palooza, which has Cody West, and then their headliner for that night is Reed Southall. And then at Billy Bob's, Billy Bob's is opening back up, I think, this weekend. So far, so good, is Roger Krieger. So that'll be a cool show. And then if you're not too hungover, you can go on Saturday. Saturday at the Stockyards in Oklahoma City, Caitlin Butts is playing at Stockyard Central. And then on the 17th, also on Saturday at the North Texas State Fair, you can go back to the fair and see Wade Bowen. Wade's good. Wade's really good concert to go see. I've seen him numerous times. He's really good. And then at Canna Cause on Saturday, it's a Friday-Saturday deal too, as the two I pulled from there was Tyler Stokes, which is a headliner, and then Mike Hotze. I love Mike. Mike's like the 50 million instrument guy at one time. And then at Billy Bob's on Saturday is probably one of my favorites on this whole list, is Shane Smith and the Saints. And that's all I got for this week. But I know there's other shows. There's just go. If you got a chance to go listen to live music, go do it. It's something awesome to do.
Do it for us, man.
Yeah.
We can't get to all of them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Also, on the 24th of this month, October 24th, $1.98 is going to be performing. It's probably their second performance since COVID.
And it's their CD release party for their new CD.
Yes. It's going to be in Chickasha on Chickasha Lake, October 24th, Branding Iron Saloon. $1.98 is our Spotlight Artist of the Week. All right, we're going to go ahead and play I've Been to Jail. This is a song, you'll hear more about this song during the interview we have with them, but I'll go ahead and play it right now.
Yeah, I've been to jail. Everyone should go just once to see how it feels.
All right, that was $1.98 with the song Been to Jail, one of their most requested songs when they perform live.
Yes, definitely. I was saying earlier, it's one of those songs that you can just kind of chant to. If you're ever at a live performance of theirs, I mean, everybody in the crowd that's ever heard them before is all singing the song with them. I'm kind of personal to that song because I have been to jail. Fuck you, Cherokee County.
You'll learn more about that song on this upcoming interview we're about to play. So this is our interview with $1.98 of Branding Iron Saloon. This is the Boys from Oklahoma Red Dirt Podcast. We're sitting here with $1.98, guys. How's it going?
Oh, yeah.
Doing good.
All right. First off, go ahead and introduce yourselves. Tell us what you do with the band and all that good stuff.
My name's Aaron Warren. I'm the lead singer and play acoustic.
Lonnie Warren, lead guitars.
I'm Justin Warren. I play with drums and a male organ.
The male organ. Come on, man. Come on. It's a music joke.
As you can tell, these guys are all brothers. So, how long y'all been playing together? Since like 15
since
years
birth?
Old? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Long time. Me and Lonnie are 2 years apart. Justin is.
I'm 5 years apart from you.
5 years apart from me. So, as soon as Justin got old enough to play the drums, he jumped in. And I used to play drums. Me and Lonnie would play. Lonnie's always played guitar. I mean, he'd play other things, but. Just as long as we were able to play instruments, we've always played music together. So.
I hear you.
Yeah.
So can all of y'all play just numerous instruments?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Keyboards, any stringed instruments.
Skin flute. I play a male organ, like I said.
Anything.
Come on, man.
That's pretty good.
Well, the truth is, these two are really proficient, probably more so than me, on multiple instruments. I could fake.
He's a face.
I'm the looks of the band. You know? I can fake my way on several instruments enough to get by, but these two are really probably more proficient at their guitar and banjo and mandolin. So Lonnie plays slide guitar, keyboard, any kind of guitar you want to name. So anyway.
I'll take the first question. All right. My first question is a question that has been talked about among all of our friends for a long time, and a lot of them don't know this story, but where the hell did $1.98 name come from?
Yeah. I've heard like two different stories. Come on, it's time to set it straight.
Well, you might get three different answers right here.
Yeah.
One of you guys want to take that one?
I'll tell it. I've already told the story once today. I'm going to keep getting asked all the time still after almost 20 years. But there was a guy that used to come to our football games, kind of the town drunk.
Yeah.
Or, you know, always showed up at games a little lit. And this goes back to when we were in Little League.
Yeah.
So all the way from Little League to junior high school
sitting
football.
Stands,
this
beer.
Was the guy that would run the chain link fences, you know, follow the team as they were on that field, you know, just screaming and hollering the whole both ways. So he, one of his sayings were, you know, womp womp, $1.98, double up, you boys better go get you a can of whoop ass at Walmart. It costs $1.98. And that's where the name.
So a can of whoop ass cost $1.98. It was supposed to be.
And we actually needed there was a battle of the bands at USAO, fast forward, and we didn't have a band at the time, and I think the giveaway was free studio time and a guitar that I think Lonnie might have wanted, so we're like, dude, let's just put something together.
I forgot about that.
And just come up with some covers, we'll go out there and join the battle of the bands, and we always kind of talked about it'd be a funny name, $1.98 would be funny, just because we knew the story, and Justin was real big fans of Matchbox 20 at the time.
Well, I like, you know, the Blink 182 and the
like Blink
182. 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees. I mean, it all intertwined. Madonna. You know, influence is very heavy.
No, but they asked on the phone, what's the name of your band? We really hadn't talked about it. I was like, we just like this $1.98. And that's, it's,
right.
That
yeah,
was
we're on the spot.
Ago.
It's like, all right, what's the band name? It's like, I don't know.
See, I'll tell y'all a funnier version of this story. So one night I was out here, and Aaron was out here at the bar. We're actually at the Brandon Iron Saloon recording right now. But we were at this bar one night, and Aaron was tore up.
Nah.
And I told him, I said, where did y'all's name come from? And he said, well, it was almost the exact same. He said, there was this battle of the bands at USAO, and we were going. We'd been playing a little bit here and there, and we just wanted to go get this battle of the bands. And somebody needed cigarettes or something, and we none of us had any money, so we pulled all the change out of our pockets, and the only thing that was there was $1.98. So we used to bear our name right there.
Well, that was very false, sir. That never happened.
It's actually a better story. We might stick to that.
Yeah, you're right, man. This is edited, right?
It's funny because every time anyone asks Aaron, he gives a different story, so I think it's Aaron's fault. There's some confusion.
Let's just say a different story every time we're asked. That's a good idea.
The story I heard about the old drunk guy, but it was a bar guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd always start fights in the bar.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Well, that was later on.
That's the same dude.
Same guy. No, it's right. Yeah.
His name was, he has passed away, and his name was Kenny Newsom. And his son follows us on Facebook. He knows that where the name come from.
Yes.
So, you know, his name was Kenny Newsom. He was a character. His son listens to this, he'll know, he'll get a little smile.
That leads into the next question about COVID and the band. We saw you guys play yesterday downtown Chickasha.
Yep.
That was your first performance, live performance, full band performance since COVID hit.
Absolutely.
How did that feel getting back out there to play in front of everybody?
Very rusty.
Felt a little rusty on our end.
Yeah.
A little, we had a great crowd that showed up, they always do. Yeah. Lots of $1.98 hats and shirts out there, and we are eternally grateful for the people that continue to show up, support us. Felt mostly good, but just maybe things that no one else would notice. We were a little bit rusty on getting in and out of songs and beginnings and endings and things like that. So
that, at least my follow-up, was that the first time you played your new?
That's the first time we played those songs.
Yes.
Live?
Yes.
Was there some nerves involved there? Is that why you like pushed a lot of the new stuff early?
We were drinking water. Yeah, we're drinking water at first.
Right. Well, we really wanted to, we're really trying to turn the corner of being a kind of a cover bar band with originals and then turn the corner to be an original band that will play a few covers, sprinkle covers. So we're trying to make that switch. And sometimes you got to take a leap of faith, and we came out with the all original set, an hour and 20 minutes of all originals off the first two, or not first two, the only two albums we got. And it's like, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, it's easy, it's, it takes less courage to play obvious crowd pleasing songs.
Exactly.
You know, you can play Tulsa Time, which we love those songs, we do play them, but those are kind of softballs, if you will, to get the crowd going. It's not quite as easy to play songs they've never heard in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and get some kind of positive reaction. So we just wanted to come out. Since we took a break, it was a good time to kind of reset a little bit about our approach and really try to focus on being original. Let those songs stand on their own for better or worse and see what happens.
And I think that will probably pay off for you in the long run. Just my personal opinion, I think that will pay off for you in the long run.
Fingers crossed.
Because there's a lot of people out there that's looking for that. They're looking for the original.
Yeah, the audience is always mixed. You'll get...
Yes.
I'm not necessarily talking about audience, though. I'm talking about even the industry and looking for that. So they want people that's going to do that original stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and as individuals from the outside looking in, watching you guys play, we didn't see any nerves.
Oh, you did?
Right.
We didn't see any nerves. Y'all sounded great.
Yeah, well,
we're very good actors.
I can only speak for myself. I wasn't nervous, but I was a little unsure of the material. Just like I say, the ins and outs, how we end it and how we go the next one, because we try to work real hard not having a whole lot of silence in between songs to have a flow of the set, if you will. Because we used to have an issues in the past of playing a song,
stop,
2 minutes of silence,
drink a beer,
song, 2 minutes of silence. We really want to figure out how to map 15 songs together in a continental way to where it has a flow to it. And we've done 3 faster songs, let's throw a slow song here, and really have the entire set be a body of work instead of one song being a body of work. So that's things that we talked about and worked on. That was just, it added more elements, if you will, to the show. And more opportunities to mess up. Because we worked on endings. I mean, the song, we can all go listen to the CD and learn the songs on our own, and probably by and large come back together and play them.
Which we already had,
Which we had, but anyway.
So, individually, who is your biggest influence in music?
Oh, gosh.
There's way too many to even start.
Man.
We'll start with you.
I'm going to say, like, Mickey Mouse is real. I have no, dude. Yeah. It's the spectrum is just, I don't know. I had to lay my hands on all of it, really.
It's everything from Jimi Hendrix to Merle Haggard to Van Halen to George Jones. I mean, it's Pavarotti, Michael Bolton. I don't
hard rock,
pick a name. If they've had any talent or any
Pantera, you got
then they've Mark influenced me somehow, some way.
Yeah, like when you were like a kid, what was your go-to music? When you first started playing?
When I first started playing, it was like CCR, playing along with CCR tapes, and then it was Jimi Hendrix and Van Halen's, and you know, the typical 80s kid, you know, 80s teenager growing up playing guitar.
I don't want to speak for them. We were all into 80s hair metal big time.
Oh man, yes.
And to this day, you know, short of what we're doing, 80s hair metal is, I still listen to it. It's back when, you know, before Nirvana and the grunge scene came along, and I listened to all that too. It's obviously great stuff, but Nirvana just squashed 80s hair metal and probably needed squashing because it kind of got watered down. But if I had to pick my favorite genre ever, it's probably 80s hair metal. And then in all those bands, I played drums at the time before I started singing. I can't sing like those guys in 80s hair metal, but I had drum influences from all those 80s drummers and stuff.
Very high voices, big in the 80s.
Yeah. And then outlaw country. So I don't know if you could say we're a cross between 80s hair metal and outlaw country.
I like that. 80s.
That's a good mix.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. All right.
But, well, they're both, the attitude is a lot the same.
Right.
That's why if you're attracted to a certain kind of music, it's because the attitude's the same. Like, there's no way you can like metal and not like Johnny Cash, because Johnny Cash is the same attitude as Slayer. So, just a different, a different genre.
So whenever who writes y'all's music? Do y'all do it as a team?
All of us. Mostly, I'll have an idea, either lyrically or melodically, and then we'll hack it up together.
Hash out. We'll
work up a part.
So do y'all do lyrics and music, or music and lyrics? Or?
It both. There's no set formula.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll have three chords, and I'll come up with a riff that fits it.
A phrase.
And then he'll go back and write lyrics to that. Then we just start, like everybody will start throwing in, like, hey, what if we did this right here and did this right there?
Well, most of them start with a song title. If I know we're coming up, going to make a new record, you know, I get lazy. I'm not always in songwriter mode, but we got to book studio time first.
Before we write any ideas.
So it forces us to be productive.
So we're in a truck going to the studio. It's like, okay, we're learning this one song. It's like, oh God, okay. And we get to the studio and that's not how we're playing it. It's ever
we'll book studio time 3 months out. Say, okay, we're in the studio in 3 months. We got to get busy.
Yeah, we got to cut an album.
Two days later.
Without that pressure, you know, I'm not sure how productive we would be. But when we get in that songwriting mode, I'll via conversations like we're having here, somebody will say a phrase or something, and I'm continuously typing in an iPhone, writing it down. I think that'd be a good song title. And then I'll go back and I'll go to iTunes or Google and see if that song title's ever been used before. And if it hasn't, that's even better. If it has, as long as I think, you know, it came from an original place. You know, there's been a million songs written about I love you and forever, in my arms again. It's hard to find a fresh phrase or fresh title, man. But we actually did, the single and the name of the album, Living in a Neon Haze, I'm not sure where that came from, but I went to iTunes and I thought, surely that's been used before, because it just seems too obvious. But unless someone out there can prove me wrong, it's nowhere. So I thought, well, that's a phrase worth remembering, because it just, to me, paints a picture of you're spending your nightlife in bars. You're living in the neon haze. So the same way with Once Upon an Oklahoma Sundown, you know, I thought surely those words have been strung together before, and they haven't. So that was a title that we wanted to keep and really work on. So every song is written differently. It might start with a song title, might start with a chorus. A lot of them start with choruses that I think is worth keeping. If we write a chorus and I can't get it out of my head for a few days, I go, well, I don't know if that's good or not, but I know I can pick up my guitar 3 days later and that chorus is there. I thought, well, it's worth remembering. And then we'll get together. I go, I'll say, I got this chorus.
We'll say no.
And we might write it backwards from the chorus to the verse. Well, where are the verses going to go going into that chorus? So
that would kind of leads to my next question. I recently heard an article about a band that for 90 straight songs, they have this Achilles heel song. They've tried writing, trying to find a song to put the chorus into. Do y'all have a song like that y'all been working on for years that you just can't finish?
I mean, we all write, to be honest. I know Lonnie's got, you know, he has ideas that float around. I've got some that, for me, I can only speak for myself. If no, the short answer is no, but if it's not worth finishing, I'm not going to finish. Yeah, you know, it's probably some ideas I'm not excited about.
And then on the other side of that, yeah, there are ideas that will totally come into my head and that will bug me for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I never can get it to pen. And then eventually you lose that. And it's a shame because there's a reason why it swam around in my head for 2 or 3 weeks. Because there was a potential there. I just didn't know how to put it.
Yeah. I'm sure every artist has that exact same
And that's what, you anytime. Know, that's why you appreciate good songwriters, because they know exactly how to do that.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Like when you listen to Merle Haggard, he's like, man, that's.
Yeah.
He said it just exactly
that's
like
it.
I thought
that
it.
Is. That's
but
it.
I couldn't ever put it down.
Exactly. I have kind of a crazy question that I know a lot of fans be interested in is what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to y'all on tour or on a live show? Or,
oh man, is
as
this
far
thing...
as fans go, as far as the band goes?
Or... Oh gosh.
I mean, I've been on fights on stage.
Jumped
off stage with a guitar.
Yeah.
There's
been ups and downs, man.
There's been all the stereotype stories you could imagine.
Oh, Lord, all the stories from when y'all first started, especially because didn't y'all play at Benton's Fire?
Oh, yes, sir.
All the stories.
We were the
notorious.
Before we got focused on the Red Dirt country side of things, we were a full-blown cover band, party band kind of thing, and you know, with that comes a certain scene. But yeah, Benton's was kind of back in the crazy days. We were all younger and whatnot, so yeah, nothing too crazy.
Same old basic story.
In other words, we don't want to disclose what the fuck we did, really. Yeah.
So when it comes to songwriting, between the first CD and the CD, have you noticed a growth in the band and songwriting and the way put yourself forward?
To me, the second album sounds like, because you only have the first album to go by, sounds like a $1.98 album.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have other people tell me, man, y'all went way over here with this one, didn't you? I'm like, oh, really?
Not sure what you're talking about. Yeah.
Depends on who's listening to it. They think it's a departure from the first album. To me, I see the similarities as like a part two of the first album.
Well, for me, the second album was an attempt, whether or not we pulled it off or not, to be a little more outlaw. I don't know what that means, or a little more of an edge to us.
A little more loose, yeah.
Thank you, man. Although we are a sucker for melodies, so you try to write this kind of hardcore outlaw record, and these melodies keep showing up.
These
catchy choruses, so we just don't fight that. We're a sucker for a catchy chorus and melody, so... You know, it was kind of an attempt to push it toward kind of the outlaw sound, but it still sounds like $1.98 in the first record because of the melodies and the song structure.
Right.
And it's obviously us playing the instrument, so there's no way we're not going to sound like ourselves. So.
Yes.
I mean, there was a conscious effort, at least on my part, to write a little bit more of a tougher record. Whether or not we did or not is up to the listener, I suppose. So.
Yeah, I say yeah.
I have a question for you. Which of your songs means the most to you?
Oh gosh.
Huh. Two.
That goes for your first record or second record.
Good Lord.
I don't know.
You came straight out with it, didn't you?
They all have a certain place. It's like trying to pick your favorite kid, you know.
Secretly you like this one, but you can't say the whole thing.
Yeah.
Personal experiences?
Sure. Absolutely, all of them.
Crowd pleasers?
No, they're all written from personal experience.
Yeah, as a songwriter, you write from your imagination and from personal experience. So you never really know what's real and what's made up in your head.
Well, what's thought, yeah.
But everybody can relate to both. That's the key.
Well, I know the first song we ever wrote, we decided let's make it. Here's the thing, we had spent years just being a cover band in bars, and we were like, we don't want to look back on our career, whatever you want to call it, and not have an album. You know, I felt like there's too much talent in this band to not make an album. So, but once, you know, Lonnie played with Terry Allen, a guy in Lonnie, he was touring with him, regional tour, and he was playing mostly country. Well, he got kind of the country bug, and he got his guitar rig kind of sounding like those tones, and I was all about doing something different.
And it turns out we could fake country pretty good.
Yeah. Turns out we grew up listening to country and 80s hair metal.
It's in the background, yeah.
But me personally, I was like, let's either make a screaming Pantera.
Right.
I didn't, but once Lonnie got the country bug, I said, let's steer this thing that direction. And
I think that from other artists that I've heard interviews with, a lot of that is just a progression with age. A lot of that.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Older. And we have people that literally call us sellouts for going country. Well, it's not a sellout at all. It's not disingenuous. It's just we're not 19 anymore. We're not 22
yeah.
no more.
Yep, 45
it's
years
time
old
to move on. It's,
yeah, you can't do it.
You know, it's just a natural progression
of
living in Oklahoma. Yeah, in small town Oklahoma, I mean, what are you going to do?
I will say this. Anybody out there wants to try to match their country upbringing and think it's more country than these guys and me right here, I'll challenge anybody.
Yeah.
We grew up, don't challenge our country. That might be the next name of our album.
I'll take
don't
you to where we grew country. Up.
Well, actually, I'm redneck.
We have a song, Give Us Back Our Music, Give Me Back My Music.
Yeah, exactly.
That song, is that kind of where that
stems from? That is. That stems from...
A long time coming is like the first part of that.
We were raised in trailer houses. We were
getting back to, you know, where we... Because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, despite what these country artists will tell you, well, they grew up country. Well, I couldn't wait to get out of my little small town and be some famous rock star guitar player in L.A. That was my dream, to get out of that small town. But, you know, the older you get, you realize, well, this is where I was raised. This is where I should have been anyway.
Plus, L.A.'s real far. I mean, you don't want to drive out
there. Yeah, and a lot of people don't know this, but I believe that y'all are all born
in Dibble,
right?
We grew up. Oh, we were raised in Dibble.
There's no hospital in Dibble. Yeah, you were born in Dibble?
Unless you're...
You're born in the parking lot of the convenience store there. But no, we were raised in Dibble, Oklahoma, and very proud of Dibble, Oklahoma.
Google the population of that town.
Population.
And we didn't live in town.
Yeah.
I have a question that kind of amazed me. Did any of y'all actually read music, or do you play by ear?
I do not.
All ear.
I think Lonnie, go ahead, Lonnie.
I'm capable of reading music.
Is this how they read?
But it literally is too. My brain, I can hear the song with my fingers quicker than I can read it. So I don't read music.
There's a lot of artists.
Because I'm not proficient in it, but I know how to do it. If you pointed your finger and go, what is that? I could tell you.
Now, when we communicate, let's say we're writing a song, we're coming up with parts. You know, I've never really thought about it because none of us, we don't talk music lingo or on a technical term, but, you know, Justin the drummer, or, you know, I'm coming with an idea, say, hey, right here, go poom, poom, plat, or the ta-ta-pa, or, hey, how about that same lick you did earlier, and we'll go da-da-da-da-da, put that same lick over here. So,
okay, let's try it.
So it's not like playing like C flat.
No.
No, what's it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, me and Warren, the bass player, and the fiddle player, will discuss keys and, you know, what. Yeah.
Now, Warren has a degree in music, don't he?
Yeah, Warren is actually an educated musician.
Yes, yes. That's why
bass
we got
player. Warren Roach, bass player. Yes.
And they're not here with us tonight, and y'all's fiddle player, what's his name?
Dale Presley.
Yeah, that's it. He is amazing.
Oh, he's so top notch.
So give us the names of the other guys in the band, what they do for you. So,
Dale Presley, he's a fiddle player.
Yes. Warren Roach. Bass player. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I'll tell the story about how we found Dale Presley. We wanted a fiddle player, and we put an ad on Craigslist, which is...
Men only.
If you want anything, you go to Craigslist, right? So he answers the ad, and we had a show at JR's in Oklahoma City. And long story short, just bring your fiddle and amp and sit in on a set.
He could have came in and killed us all.
Never met him. Right. Never met the dude. Brings his fiddle.
And he's been with us
ever since. He played the whole night with us. Never heard us. Never heard our songs.
Yeah.
It was a fit, both musically and personally. He's a super, super nice guy and a great fiddle player.
Yeah.
But he's been with us ever since. That was probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Dude, you don't give me all one big
Craigslist ad, been with us ever since.
Craigslist.
Yeah, no audition, no.
So, what is y'all's most memorable performance?
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh wow.
They're all one big.
I know y'all open for a lot of really big bands.
Yeah, we've done all the, you know, opening up for the big names. Those are really cool.
Yeah, real fun.
But the thing what you would surprise you is why you remember a certain gig. Like, it was 140 degrees on stage.
Or I didn't have my cymbal that day, or my fucking snare broke.
Something. It's always something weird that makes you remember it. And a lot of times it's the little dive bar gig where you didn't expect it to do anything. The people come out of the woods and we're just amazed by you and blown away, and you were blown away by them.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, that was a hell of a night that wasn't expecting.
Exactly.
I remember we opened up for Colt Ford, and he actually, and not all headliners do this, but Colt Ford stood at the side of the stage and watched our entire set. And after we got done, it was just, the bill was $1.98 and Colt Ford.
That's super clean.
And we get done and we're getting our stuff out of their way. And Colt Ford walks over, I think, to me and Lonnie.
Yeah.
And takes his hat off, puts it on his chest, and shakes our hand. He said that was one of the best opening acts I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
And I just felt, it felt so genuine. Colt Ford was a super nice guy and very complimentary of us. So I remember that.
Yeah. So, me and Jay were talking before the interview about, there was I guess about a year or so ago, maybe 2 years, you opened up for a band. I can't remember who it was. We were talking about this, and they ended up having you come up and take the lead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was Lynch Mob.
Oh, yeah.
The 80s, man. If you don't know, if you ever heard of Dawkins, that's a huge 80s hair metal band, back to our 80s hair metal reference. So they were opening up for Lynch Mob, and their singer can't make the show. And so they ask, hey, they're in a bind. Can you sing? Do you know Lynch Mob songs or Dawkins songs? I'm like, are you kidding me?
So he sat in his car the whole time listening to Dawkins songs.
Yeah, I mean,
did you?
But there's a difference between, well, I know them, and there's a difference between that, and I got to get up there and sing. Yeah. That's just two different.
I was like, hey, man, what about our
singing along in the car is different than actually being on stage and singing the song.
So if you don't know, George Lynch is the guitar player for Dawkins. He is Lynch Mob, and I grew up listening to George Lynch. To be on stage with him singing Dawkins songs, that was probably a highlight of my musical career.
Yeah. And the funny story is, like, so I'm standing there next to George Lynch. He doesn't know who I am, but someone comes up to him and goes, hey, we found a guy who knows a bunch of Dawkins songs. He's like,
oh, God.
Really? Can we go meet him? He's like, yeah, let's go. So he walks over there and he sees Aaron, big old guy with a big beard. Man. And he goes, okay. So he kind of walks back, and he comes back to where I am. He goes, man, they found this guy who thinks he knows a bunch of Dawkins songs.
But he looks like goddamn.
I don't know if this guy really does. This guy, like, he didn't say this, but I don't remember his exact words, but it's like, there ain't no way this hillbilly knows he's playing this song.
You want to bet? Hey, you can find that performance on YouTube, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, it was odd. Chuck, any of us have kind of childhood heroes or whatnot. And here's George. To his point, I didn't know that. It's the first time I've heard that side of that. They asked me if I could sing the songs. Yeah, I really can. So I see George Lynch on soundcheck, and I'm like, there's George Lynch, man.
There he is.
I can't believe it.
Your stomach starts bubbling.
I see him walk off that stage. He's walking right toward me. And he doesn't say, he walks right to me, and he doesn't say, hey, I'm George Lynch. What's your name? It was nothing like that. He's like, hey, man, so I hear you sing Dawkins song.
Oh, my God.
And I'm still looking at him like, holy shit, you're George Lynch. So it wasn't that, you know, I probably came off as a little bit aloof. I was like, this is a surreal moment. It'd be like whoever you want to name just walking up and say, hey, you want to sing? It's like that movie Rockstar. You know, when you got it there. Anyway, it was just very, very cool. And that's probably understand why he thought, this dude don't know no Dawkins song.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, I need some help.
Yeah. But I felt I did pretty good. Anyway.
So when y'all finish a concert, what's one thing you hope your fans get out of it?
Oh, wow.
The money's worth?
Hopefully it's a show, you know.
Especially it's a free show.
Yeah. Maybe we usually deliver on those.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully you walk away with...
You're free to say whatever you want, Aaron Warren.
If you never,
it's all recorded.
If you never heard us, I hope you walk away like with a couple of them songs stuck in your head, you know, and like, wow, I was surprised, you know.
Or, wow,
you know,
that was really loud.
For a little local Oklahoma.
First time you hear, you're like, damn, I've been to jail too.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I was right there with
it. I have been to jail.
Let's talk about that song because that's a crowd favorite. You know, I've been to jail.
Yeah.
Kind of tell us how it came apart, you know.
Well, that actually, full disclosure, all three of us have been to jail and everyone in our band has been to jail before. Now, some more than others, but that's just a true story. But actually, a family member of mine, he had got his second DUI, and his family was really coming down on him. It was a big deal. It was like, you know, it was a traumatic event, and rightfully so. But it struck me that just that observation of, you know what, you know, yes, it's
hell,
bad.
I've been in jail too.
But no one got hurt. You know, just take it all for what it is. Keep everything in perspective. Don't hang your head. Just alter your behavior and keep moving forward.
And your pants is not sagging.
So the yes, pull your pants up. But it's the song is just about, you know, no one's defined by your worst moment. Hopefully, you know, we've all made mistakes, and doesn't define who you are, and doesn't make you necessarily a bad person. So. To me, it was the quickest song ever written by us. It was like a 5-minute goof off, literally written at Chickasha Lake right down the road here on the porch. And it was
the most requested song.
So we go to the studio. And by the way, the words of that song, if you ever listen to that song, I've Been to Jail, I had a rule writing the lyrics that I'm not going to rewrite one single line. And I've never done that. In full disclosure, I usually sweat and look at the lyrics and think that's dumb.
Change
this line.
Yeah.
Change this. This doesn't make sense. Yeah. Make sure.
I've done that so many times.
All that. So, but I had a rule because I heard some other songwriter. I don't remember who it was. He made that rule on himself. So I was going to do that, no matter how corny or silly I think the line is of that song. I just had to like grin and bear it and go with that line. And that's exactly how those words came out. It was a one-off thing. As I'm writing. Playing the chords, I'm writing the next line. Playing the chord, writing the next line. And then we had a song, and it ends up being one of the more popular songs we have. That's always usually the case.
Yes,
you know, the more
a lot of bands like that.
Yeah, the more corny, like...
Everybody knows a lyric.
Yeah. And if, like, you end up kind of not liking it as much, because it's a little on the corny side.
Yeah.
And it was that way on purpose.
Right.
But then everybody starts kind of taking it serious, you know, like, well, okay, you can roll with it or you cannot.
So well, we kind of had a
nobody relates.
Yeah. A wink and a smile about that song because we didn't know how we felt about it. But Trent Bell, the he owns Bell Lab Studios in Norman, he produces and makes all of our records. He said, you know, that's a song everyone's going to like, right? And I was like, you think so? He's absolutely right. So trust me, I've been making records for like 30 years. That's going to be the one everyone likes. And that's turned out to be the case.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, last night, we weren't going to play I've Been to Jail in front of the whole town of Chickasha. Just because.
Yeah, it's jail.
But we ended up playing it because
somebody
got several requests for us. So anyway, we played it.
So I have something for the listeners that may have never heard or heard the song we're talking about. Where can they go to purchase all your music?
Yeah. Anywhere on the internet, anywhere you download music,
Google, iTunes,
we're there.
Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, all of them.
Apple Play or whatever it is, the Android side. I have iPhone. Whatever the Android users play, wherever you download your music, we'll be there.
All right, and they can also go. And what are the two music videos you guys did for the new album? The way that you guys see
them. Well, we need to talk about Reagan, the guy that put the videos together. Man, did an amazing job. We did both videos the same, within 2 days. Took the whole, you know, a Saturday and a Sunday and recorded both videos, which was, you don't realize how much work goes into a video
until you're doing it. Yes.
I've been on movie sessions. You're there all day for like a 10-minute
scene.
Yes.
So yeah. It's ridiculous.
Music
videos. Yeah, we shot two full music videos in 2 days. And Oklahoma Sundown and Neon Haze.
Hey, we didn't even know the songs while we were playing them. I remember playing them and like had no idea what I'm about to do.
See, I don't have any backing tracks playing in the background while y'all are filming.
Yeah, they were jamming.
It's not what I envisioned. It's like a little jam box over here. You know, obviously we never made a video before. You know, first time for everything. But you know, the music, it wasn't quite as loud as maybe you think it is, so you're kind of lip syncing. Actually, you're actually singing over, so you look real. But you are singing over this.
Well, I'm hitting the drums, but nobody's playing guitar. It's like I got to hit the drums, but nobody's really right here.
Yeah, it's right. Awesome video. I love the
video. Yeah, both videos are.
My favorite part, y'all, was the hotel, motel, whatever it was.
Yeah. You know, it took me about three times watching the video where you pull the Hot Pocket out of the microwave.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were eating, and I saw you grab the Hot Pocket and spit it out, and I'm like.
Yeah, yeah.
Great video. Yeah.
That's, that is, well, I was about to say, that's the premiere of my acting career. I feel like I nailed that scene because he only had one Hot Pocket, so I couldn't blow it.
It was a one take.
It was a one take. I'm a one take actor.
And scene.
Well, you know, that was the first video I made was for Neon Haze, or living in a Neon Haze. And
we had to have
like you were saying, movie sets take forever. So we're in that hotel room, which Reagan Elkins, he owns Intelligo Media, who did a phenomenal job on the videos. He does videos for the Imaginaries. He does promotional videos for towns. He's been involved in movies. We really shout out to Reagan Elkins. He's going to be big time, or is big time in our mind. But anyway, he manages to make a little trade for the hotel in Chickasha.
Trade?
And then we didn't have to pay for the room. We just had to like straighten everything up when we left.
And that hard to do because we saw the video?
Yeah,
whole video is to destroy the trash.
But the whole thing was we're trashing this room, but I won't name the hotel. But we actually had to clean up the hotel room before we left, make it look like we weren't there.
Right.
But that, just those silly hotel scenes, we were there probably 3-4 hours.
Man. Yeah, and in the video, it's what? I don't even know how long it's in the video.
It's like 30 seconds. Boom,
yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
So, how can fans keep up with your performances and stuff like that? I
mean, Facebook, Facebook, Facebook.
Oh, freaking Facebook.
Same as, you know, $1.98.
Facebook. Do y'all have a Twitter account too?
We do not. Yeah. You know what? I've come so close to doing all that, the Instagrams and the snaps and the...
Right.
At this point, everybody keeps going back to Facebook anyway, as far as that kind of stuff. So
Middle America Facebook.
Right.
Yeah. That's where you want to be, right, really.
We're actually here at Brandon Iron Saloon doing this interview.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In 2 weeks, you guys will be back here playing tonight. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We're super excited to be back at the Brandon Iron Saloon. Johnny Bob's a good buddy, I think, of all of ours, as the owner here, and it's our favorite place to play. He always takes great care of us. And it'll be our second show post-COVID and our second time to play songs off of our new record, Living
Second
in
time
Neon
to play
Haze.
The new up,
yeah. Yeah, so we are very excited. We always have a great turnout here.
Yes.
We have Dalton Payne opening up for us, which has a phenomenal voice. He's going to do some acoustic songs and open up for us. So we are super excited, to say the least. So.
Yeah.
Be sure to make it out to the Branding Iron Saloon on October 24th. You do not want to miss it.
Chickasha Lake.
Just going to ask y'all what's next. I mean, are y'all already in the writing process with COVID shutting you down, kind of live and stuff? I mean, or not? You just relaxing?
Yeah, we like this. There comes a time when you got to take care of other things, life.
Yeah,
I recently got married, buying houses and selling houses and. Doing all, you know, everybody's got kids and grandkids or whatever their situation is, but the writing process only happens when we book studio time.
Yes, absolutely.
And I understand.
Which is, you know, we're waiting to quit those. So
yes,
if you're,
I mean,
you know,
hey,
anyone out there can help us do that.
Out there, come
if anybody's listening to this and they happen to drive through Chickasha, Oklahoma, you can stop by one of the best restaurants in Southwest Oklahoma. That's the A&E Grill. That's
preach it. Preach it.
Yeah.
Plug.
Preach it. Preach it, JJ.
Especially if you're into music, the whole restaurant's done in music instruments,
I mean,
music, guitar.
Actually worked there at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've drank beer there.
That's working. Hey, that's working.
All right, that was our interview with $1.98 out at Chickasha Lake at Branding Iron Saloon. Great bar. These guys were awesome. They volunteered. They came to us and said, we want to be your very first band to do a live performance on your show. So we got a couple songs from them. We're going to play one of those songs right now.
All right, once again, that's what we're doing. Once again. I'm holding on forever.
But you know we can't go.
Broke a string. That wraps that up.
All right, that was once again performed live by $1.98 on our podcast.
Yeah, that interview was probably best interview to this date that we've done. I love them guys. They're all three of them are brothers. I mean, you figured that out in the interview. We will post the videos on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we posted one of them that same night because we were excited about it. But we have another one we're going to post. Probably repost both of them together. I'm just kind of push both of them.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that is you see two guys sitting in chairs with guitars.
Yeah.
That's
Aaron and Lonnie.
Aaron and Lonnie. And then you see this guy in the back. It looks like a floating head. That's Justin. That's their brother. You know, great drummer. This guy put together a drum set.
Yeah, he grabbed Aaron's guitar case and used it as like a snare drum. He got a chair for him to sit in, and he got a trash can from behind the bar, just a plastic trash can that had a sack in it and probably had trash in it. Set it up next to him, went out to his truck, got his kicker for his bass drum, put a chair behind it, was using that trash can as his bass, and then he had a maraca. Isn't that what they're called?
The little shaker.
Then he had, then as his cymbal, he actually had a tambourine that he was hitting as a cymbal. It actually sounded awesome. I mean, yeah, it really sounded really cool. Even the bass on it, it sounded awesome. I know he kind of looks goofy, just a head back there, but he's actually playing back there.
Well, I guess someone came up. And was why I replayed this video at the bar because we karaoke out there. I run karaoke and I like to push $1.98. So I played this video and Aaron was sitting at the table watching the video. And this guy comes up, just random guy, and says, "Man, look at that guy in the background." I guess he was making fun of him or something. And Aaron looked over at him and he was like, "Dude, do you know who I am?" "Yeah, you're Aaron. Do you know who that guy is?" "No, that's my brother." he's a good drummer, you know.
I want to say something to our Texas listeners too about $1.98 while we're talking about them. I mean, $1.98's been playing around the Chickasha, Southwest Oklahoma area for a long time now. I think the very first show I ever seen them play was like over at Benton's a long time ago in Chickasha, which is not even a club anymore. I think it got shut down for too many fights or something. But their production, their everything has got so much better from when they were younger guys to now. Aaron's just real crisp on the mic. Lonnie just gets into that went into his electric guitar. They also didn't play for us, but they have a really good fiddle player, good bass player. And, you know, they're just, what I want to say to Texas is if there's any producers out there, any agents, Red 11, anybody, y'all listening, I'm telling you right now that $1.98 is that band that has never got a break. But go to YouTube and watch their new video, Living in a Neon Haze. But these guys are just, they are so much ahead of what breaks they've caught. Aaron's just, he's got the pipes. I mean, he can sing. He's got the stage presence. They have everything they need. Agents, radio stations. In Texas, in Oklahoma, if you want to spend, I know Chickasha plays their stuff all the time. They're a little radio station over there, cool. But if there's any stations out there, you know, the ranch, the range, any of that stuff in Texas, play $1.98. They got, especially this new one, their CD release party is October 24th, like Jason said, and this band, they deserve shows in Texas, all over Texas, Fort Worth, Dallas, Denton. You know, you name them. Hanks down there in McKinney. You know, any of them places. Durant, Southeast Oklahoma. You know, go up to Tulsa, Canes, if you're listening. Or even Mercury. I know guys from the Mercury, they would take the – I guarantee you they would tear it up at the Mercury. I've been to the Mercury numerous times. It's a cool place to go play.
Yeah.
It's an old gas station, so.
Well, we got the other song they performed. We're going to go and play that right now.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. I'm sorry I could go into talking about $1.98
for it's a more softer side of the band, but it's still a great song. So here's $1.98.
Let's see what happens. You ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. This one ain't about whiskey. Good love has gone bad. It's not about a back road or all the good times we've had. This one ain't about a tailgate or just sales of Texas. It's not about my hometown, cocaine or X. I could sing about Oklahoma, and I'll make it a red dirt tune. Or the backwoods of Georgia, that's the best I can do. But this ain't about nothing, babe, nothing but loving you. And I could try to tell you, but the words will come out wrong. 'Cause I ain't no poet, and this ain't no Bob Dylan song. But I want you and I need you, and I love you for our time. I know that it's been said before, but you're always on my mind. And this ain't about nothing, baby, nothing but loving you. And I've been searching for you. Oh, so I found nothing at all, not this time. Tonight you're on my mind. Oh! This ain't about nothing, baby. Nothing but loving you. Thank you all for having us. Thank you, Jason.
Got,
thank you,
Jason.
My trash can held up. My trash can held up.
Okay, that was a second song that $1.98 did for us out there at the Brandon Iron Saloon. Like I said, I'm at, and I will also post my videos of that performance. I have videos off my own phone that I will post to our Facebook page, because I walked around and you can see Justin's whole drum set up and everything. It was just awesome. He threw that together. I mean, just amazing. Sounded amazing, too.
His wife actually said, I don't know what he's doing. His drums are in the car.
I didn't realize he had his drums there with him.
Yeah. No, Jennifer, his wife, said, I was like, well, because I told her, I'm like, well, I had some buckets behind the bar. And she's like, literally, his whole drum set is in the car.
Yeah, he had asked me beforehand, do you want me to get it out? And I was like, there's no really need to. He said, well, I'll just throw something together. And he was over there.
That's awesome.
So anyways, it was awesome. But if you heard, my wife's in here now, Adria Vance, and we're going to go to her segment of the podcast.
You know, girls like dancing to music.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Her cuss-worthy moment. Babe, take it over.
Okay, so dancing. Let's discuss dancing. Okay, so just about any bar you go to that has a dance floor, whether they play live music or it's DJ music, country and western bar, what rock, whatever kind of bar you go to, why is it always the basic bitches out there line dancing to everything? They will line dance to AC/DC, rap. The amount of whole fucking line dance songs is fucking ridiculous. Now, I can understand your basic line dances. You've got your what, Cotton Eye Joe, Wobble, Cupid Shuffle, all that bullshit that you have to play. Jason, you're a karaoke DJ. You know, there's just certain shit you have to play.
Oh, there's the... You, Adrian, I'm going to quiz you. What's the number one 80s rock song that will get any drunk girl off for cheering on the dance floor?
Oh, my God. It's the Ho song.
No. If you look around the bar when Pour Some Sugar on Me comes up.
Yes. That is the Ho song.
Oh, sorry.
That is the Ho song.
Okay.
And the reason I call it that is because at a bar I was at, you were actually, it was during karaoke and you were playing filler music. And I went up to you and I'm like, hey, play Pour Some Sugar on Me. And you was like, why? I'm like, because when you play that song, you can always tell who the Ho at the bar is. Because when that song comes on, the Ho's stampede towards the dance floor, and it's just ridiculous.
So next time you're at a bar and if you're single or whatever and you want
to
get
tell the DJ or go to the jukebox and play Pour Some Sugar on Me, and every hoe in the place will come out of the fucking woodwork like cockroaches.
You can make a drinking game out of it. You can look around before it plays and be like, okay, that's four.
Yeah. Maybe you did that.
I know.
It's like, man, yeah, I've got six. And he's like, well, I think it's going to be eight.
The only thing I got to add to that is if you want to get the country girl, you got to play Copperhead Road.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only
one. Or Footloose. When you go to a bar and they're line dancing to, like I said, AC/DC, no. Take your fucking Starbucks and your goddamn Uggs off the goddamn dance floor.
You know they have an Achy Breaky Heart dance song.
That does not surprise me. And another thing that bothers me, look.
Billy Ray Cyrus was a dancer.
I'm not the best dancer. I can two-step. I two-step best with my husband because we've been doing it together for 15 years. Guys and women, when you fucking two-step, you do not go sideways. You don't go sideways. You do not fucking go sideways.
Oops.
You go forward and backward. Some songs, it is okay for the woman to lead. But if you are slow, if you are two-stepping to a slower country song, the man leads and you do not go fucking sideways.
What if you're like going sideways, kind of circling? Is that okay?
No. No, that's not a thing. Because anybody that knows how to dance will be able to turn the corner or round a dance floor without going fucking sideways. Don't go, I swear, the next time I'm in a bar and I see some people fucking two-stepping sideways, I'm going to go up and I'm going to slap them in the back of their fucking head and tell them to stop.
Well, you can always tell people that it's kind of they're learning. Because the reason why they dance sideways is they're actually counting their steps. They're looking at their feet. That's the whole reason.
But they're fucking stupid.
It is funny.
I two-step sideways.
Two,
sorry.
That's because you're fucking stupid. Don't know how to do it.
I know.
So.
Rhythm's hard for some of us.
Yes. People, and I need you to pass this on to your family and your friends.
PSA.
People at bars. This is your PSA. Don't fucking line dance to everything and learn how to goddamn two-step if you're going to be out there fucking doing it. That's all.
All right.
Thank you, Adrian.
That was a cuss-worthy moment from Adrian Vance. As you can tell, I have to live with that. So
she's already gone. She's like, fuck this, I'm done. All right, now let's move on to our $1.98 prize pack, including the brand new Living in a Neon Haze CD, along with a couple stickers and some guitar picks with the logo on it. So that's the giveaway. But in order to get that, we need the answer to this question sent to our email at bfopodcast@outlook.com.
Okay, so what we want to know, what is Aaron Warren's go-to number one drink? And if he don't get that, what is his second drink that he goes to? What is Lonnie's only drink? And what is Justin's first and second drink?
So technically, you're going to have about five answers to send to
us. You can have five answers, yes. And the reason why I asked for five answers is because whoever gets this closest will be who wins this package. And no family, Robin, don't send us nothing. Robin's the wife of Aaron, or Jennifer, or Tammy. None of y'all, so y'all can't answer this. And Aaron, you can't answer it either. We know what his go-to drink is. And then if he can't have that, if Robin says he can't have that, then he has to go to his second favorite drink. Okay.
So,
well, then we got Justin's go-to drink, and then his second favorite drink. And then we only know one drink that Lonnie drinks, so.
That's a giveaway, but, you know, he had to throw him in there because he's Lonnie.
Right. But anyway, so get that to us, like I said, on Facebook, on our email at bfopodcast@outlook.com, or you can message either one of us or instant message the page itself, and we'll get it.
We'll read off a lot of the answers next week, whatever we get. You know, so.
And the Facebook page is Boys from Oklahoma. Red Dirt Podcast.
Yes. So check that out. Send us all your answers. They could be goofy answers. I don't care. We'll read them on air. Give us your name, where you're from. All right. So what I want to do now, Jay, do you have anything else you want to add for the show today?
Like I said, any Texas listeners out there really listen to this band, this featured band this week, $1.98 is a special band. Just check them out, please. Listen to their iTunes. Listen to them here and download their music. Kyle, you got anything?
I would like to add, you know, we mentioned there's a lot of shows going on this weekend. If there's a local show near you with the band we mentioned, please send us their name, somebody you like, and we'll hunt them down.
We'll try to spotlight them, yes. Absolutely. We've talked about that before. You got an artist in mind. I don't care if they're playing, like I've said before, I don't care if they're playing to 5 people or 5,000 people. We'll interview them. We'll get them out there. We'll let them hopefully get more listeners.
I want to play the title song from their new CD, Living in a Neon Haze, from $1.98.
Yes, and you can watch this video, too, on YouTube.
This is Living in a Neon Haze by $1.98.
Keep spreading the dirt.